Out on the perilous deep, where dangers silently creep, and the storm so violently sweeping, you're drifting too far from the shore. Drifting too far from the shore. You're drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today. Let him show you the way. Hey, you're drifting too far from the shore. Today the tempest rose high, and clouds overshadow the sky. Sure death is hovering nigh. You're drifting too far from the shore. Drifting too far from the shore. You're drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today. Let him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the shore. Why meet a terrible fate? Mercy abundantly waits. Turn back before it's too late. You're drifting too far from the shore. Drifting too far from the shore. You're drifting too far from the shore. Come to Jesus today. Let him show you the way. You're drifting too far from the shore. Oh.
His heart was broken, mine was mended. He became sin, now I am clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine, his life for mine.
How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch like me. His life for mine.
His wounds of suffering brought me healing. He shed his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns. His life for mine, his life for mine.
How could it ever be that he would die? God's son would die to save a wretch.
Praise the Lord. His life for mine. If we could just kind of get a hold of that truth, it would change everything about us. Sometimes we have too much of it up here and not enough of it in here. But I'm glad I know it in here. Amen. I want to know more about it in here. I know a little bit of something up here. Not saying I know it all. I certainly could learn more about that. I don't know that in this life we'll ever fully comprehend what it's like that Christ gave his life for mine. I don't know that we'll ever fully comprehend that. And even when we get to heaven, I'm not sure that we will. But I know this. I know that it's the desire of my heart to contemplate and to meditate on the fact that Christ gave his life for mine. Well, today is a special day, as every Sunday is. Every Sunday is the Lord's Day. It's a special day. Today, I want to recognize some special people in our congregation, people that have completed, well, a part of the course that God has for them. I'm going to ask all of our graduates, if you've graduated high school this year or college, would you please stand? If you're a college or a high school graduate this year, 2017 was your year, please stand. There's one, there's two. They're standing slower and slower, but they're standing. Amen. Mud run. No, you just watch. You can't be sore from watching. Amen. That's easy for me to say, right? Anyone else? We have these three. All right. I'm going to ask if the three of you would please approach the platform. Would you do that? John Baldwin, Hannah Herod, and Savannah Fosher. The church has a little something for you. Savannah Fosher, Hannah Herring, and Mr. John Baldwin. These are three of our five graduates. Jordan Gray, he graduated from Christopher Newport, and he's going back for his doctorate. Not doctorate, master's. He thinks he's a doctor, amen? He's going back for his master's degree. And then we have Brianna Settle is not able to be with us today. So let's see, here's Savannah Fosher. Congratulations to you, Savannah, on graduating high school. God bless you. Amen. We wish you nothing but the best going forward. Please remain standing up here. Hannah Herring, congratulations to you, graduating high school. We wish you nothing but the best going forward. John Baldwin. John, congratulations, brother. God bless you, son. Appreciate you, man. Wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Here's three young people that I believe with all of my heart, and I'm not just saying this, that could profoundly make an impact on the world around them. Good young people. They have the tools that it takes to make a difference. We wish you nothing but the very best. God's best, and that's the very best for your life moving forward. God bless you. Congratulations. You can be seated. Thank you. Could I ask you as our church family to do something when you see one of these young folks today after the service or in this evening service? Go to them and let them know that you're proud of them for accomplishing this goal and this step in their life. And then also, let them know, if you mean it in your heart now, you're going to be praying for them, that they would do God's will with their life. Do God's will. I want to talk to our graduates, but I want to talk to all of us, because we all need to understand something that I'm going to speak to you about today, but in particular to our graduating class. I want to talk to you about God's guidance in your life. You know, when I went to school, and I know for some of you, you might think that was a long time ago, but it really wasn't that long ago. At least it doesn't seem like it. Say amen with me right there. It doesn't seem like it was that long ago. They taught me a lot in school. If I wouldn't have been so hard-headed, they could have taught me much more. But there's some things they didn't teach me. And today I want to teach our graduates from the Word of God and each one of us some things that we're going to need in life. You know, you can get the geometry down and the trigonometry and the calculus and the history and the literature and the English, and you can get these things down. A lot of these things work in your mind, and they help you to work and to go forward in life. But there's something that's very important that very few schools teach you. And that is that you're going to need a special guidance in your life. Now, I'm not talking about from a guidance counselor at your local school. I'm not speaking of that to you today. I'm talking to you about the guidance of a God in heaven who is interested in your life. Personally, He's interested in your life. And He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for every life that is represented here today. He does. And I want to talk to you about how to find that plan and how to fulfill that plan in your life. We find in Psalm 25 an individual who was at this place in his life to where he was wanting to know God's plan and God's purpose. And so I want to talk to you about that. Now, notice if you would, here in Psalm 25, there's a statement that's made that arrested my attention in Psalm 25. In Psalm 25, in verse number 4, it says, "Show me thy ways, O Lord." Show me thy ways, O Lord. Now here's a young man, David. This is a psalm of David. And he said, "Lord, I want you to show me thy ways. I don't want you to show me the ways of an educational institution. I don't want you to show me the ways of an individual as honorable or as well-meaning as that individual may be. But God, I want you to show me," look at it now in verse number 4, "thy ways. God, show me your way. I want to know your way, Lord. Because that way is the way that's going to get you to where you need to be in your life." Amen. Now there's a lot of ways that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof, the scripture teaches, are the ways of death. There is a way that God wants to show our graduates. God wants to show you, every young person, even the middle age and the elderly that are here today. God has a way. You see, you may be here and you may be in your 60s or 70s or 80s, 90s, and still hasn't learned the way of God for your life. You still haven't learned it, but God wants to show you that way, and He will tonight, today, this morning. He'll show you. So let's look at some scripture. I want you to hold your hand here, and I'm going to give you a few scriptures I want you to turn to. Turn first of all to Psalm 48. That's just a few pages over to Psalm 48. And look at what the psalmist said here in another place. Psalm 48, the 48th psalm. Look there if you would. Psalm 48. When you find Psalm 48, look if you would at the last verse, verse 14. Psalm 48, verse 14, it says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." Now, God will guide your life. God will guide your life. God will lead you. The psalmist said, "Show me." And God said, "I'll guide you." Amen. God will guide your life. Now, we're not of those who believe that God is just this big cosmic God who's made the universe and then left us to ourselves. No, God wants to get involved in the affairs of your life. God has a specific will for your life. God has a specific purpose for your life. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah. Isaiah, and we'll look in Isaiah 48. As you turn to Isaiah 48, we find another statement that one of the writers of the scripture mentioned about God's guidance in their life. Isaiah 48, are you there? Isaiah 48, when you find Isaiah 48, look if you would in verse number 17. Isaiah 48, we're going to read verse 17. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." I'll lead you. I'll guide you. The psalmist said, "Lord, show me." He said, "I'll show you. I'll lead you. I'll guide you. The wisest man ever to live outside of Jesus Christ wrote in the book of Proverbs, "Trust in the Lord with all of thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge him." And you know what he'll do? He'll guide you. He'll lead you. And he shall direct thy paths. See, God will guide you. He will. And as I think about these young graduates, their minds are going in a lot of different directions. What should I do with my life? What am I going to make of my life? Listen, you give your life to God and let God make of your life what he's purposed for your life. Let God guide your life. Now listen, that's just not for our graduates. They're good young people. That's for every young person, every middle-aged person, every elderly person. That's for you. That's for me. That's for those that have been saved a year. That's for those that have been saved 10 years, 50 years. That's for all of us. Let God guide your life. You'll never go wrong by letting God guide your life. Now, it's not enough for me to get up here and say real loud, let God guide your life. Let's turn back, if you would, to the book of Genesis. And I'm going to give you an illustration here, and then I'm going to get into the meat of the message. Genesis, turn there, if you would. Genesis 24. This is one of my favorite occasions in all the Bible. A little backdrop. Sarah, Abraham's wife, has died. In Genesis 23, Abraham now calls upon his servant Eliezer, and he says, "I want you to go down to my country, to my people, and I want you to find a bride for my son Isaac." And so his servant gets up in Genesis chapter 24, and as he's about to go, he remembers something that's very important, very important. Now listen to me. This is what I say to John. This is what I say to Hannah and Savannah and to every person in this building today. Don't forget this very important part of life. Don't forget to consult God for guidance. This servant was sent by a good man, Abraham, and he said, "I've got something I want you to do." And he got up and he began to go, and he said, "Well, I forgot something very important." And he sought the counsel of God. He got on his face, and if you'll look in Genesis 24, we'll begin our reading in verse number 12. And he said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master." Watch this now. See, there are people that will try to have you to believe God doesn't care about where you go. God doesn't care about what you do. God doesn't care about the integral parts of your life. I'm here to tell you that they're mistaken. They missed it. They haven't studied the Scripture. The Scripture says that God does care. See, God cares about John Baldwin. God cares about Hannah Heron. God cares about Savannah Fosher. And God cares about you too. And God cares about your life and what he has purposed for your life. God has a great plan for your life. Oh, he does. It's sad to see people foil and miss the plan of God for their life and the purpose of God for their life. The potential that's locked into these young people, who can know it but God himself? Who knows the potential that's locked in you as you sit here this morning under the sound of my voice? It's unreal what God can do in a life. I've been listening to that song this week. I was coming home from doing a little work at a place, and I got to listen to that song, "Made by Mercy." And I'm going to tell you, I got to crying right down the road praising God. There's a little phrase in that song that said, "He," meaning Jesus, "took what the world saw as worthless and created a masterpiece." Amen. Amen. Listen, your life and my life, people think, well, what can one life be? What can somebody like that? What can Odell Freeman be? You'd be surprised what God can do with Odell Freeman. You'd be surprised with what God can do with your life. Amen. God can do great and mighty things through his people. But now we've got to get his guidance. Here was his servant. And he said, oh God, I can't do this without you. You ought to live every day of your life that way. God, I can't do it without you. Show me. Show me. And look, notice what the scripture says. You think God wanted to get involved in this? Watch if you would in verse 15. Look at it now. The Bible says, don't miss it. And it came to pass before he had done speaking. I like it. Amen. Now, I'm not telling you that every time you pray for God's will in your life, I'm not saying that every time I've ever prayed for God's will and God's guidance in my life, listen to me now, that when I prayed, before I got through praying, God was answering. I'm not saying that, but I am saying this. I am 100, yay, 1,000% sure that God hears and answers the prayers of his people. And God will guide his children along. Amen. Say amen with me. And the scripture says here that before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And you can read this and you'll find that he asked her to drink, and then she done exactly, I mean to the letter, what he said God revealed to me. And she done it to the letter. Now, why am I reading you this? I want you to see something. Don't miss it now. Don't miss it. The scripture says this in verse 27. After she did this, he said, this is the one. God has led me. God guided me. He showed me his way. He led me. Look at verse 27. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and of his truth. Being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. He said, God led me exactly where I needed to be. God led me exactly to who I needed to be with. And God led me exactly to whom I was looking for. Amen. I'm here to tell you this morning, brethren, there's a God in heaven that is all powerful, that our minds can't comprehend, but he will get involved in the small, integral parts and details of our lives. Now, how are we going to get God involved in that? Well, Psalm 25, turn there if you would. And I want to point out just a few things in this psalm. Just a few things. I hope you'll write them down and you'll never forget them. I pray that God would impress these thoughts upon Hannah Heron, Savannah Fosher, and John Baldwin's heart. I pray for them this week along with Brianna Settle, and along with Jordan Gray, and said, God, would you take these young people, along with the young people of Fellowship Baptist Church, and would you make it real in their heart that God cares about them? And God, that you want to do something in their life. Write this down. How do I get God to guide me, preacher? Well, watch this. Watch this now. Look if you would. Write this down. The call to guidance. The call to guidance. Look at what this man said. Are you in Psalm 25? Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Oh, my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. God, I want you to show me. God, I want you to lead me. God, I want you to teach me. God, I want you to be the one in control of my life. Amen? The call. He's calling out to God. He's not laying back and saying, well, here I am. If God wants to do something with me, bless me here, Lord. No, he's saying, God, I'm seeking you. God, I'm calling on you. God, I'm calling out to you. I need your guidance. God, I'm praying you would show me your purpose for my life. Have you done that? Have you? Does it mean enough to you? The call. Number one, he wanted to be led. He wanted to be led. Did you see that? God leads the leadable. You know that, right? You say, well, God's not leading me, preacher. Well, there's something wrong then. Have you asked him to? The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Are you asking? Have you asked God to lead your life? Listen to me now, young people. This is important. You say, well, I talked to my best friend. Not a good idea. I talked to my best friend about what I should do with my life. Really? That's as far as it's gone with you? Well, I talked to my neighbor. I talked to someone, the guidance counselor. I talked to the teacher. You may have even talked to the preacher. But now hear me. Before you talk to anyone else, you talk to God about what God wants you to do with your life. You say, preacher, I got my life all planned. I've got it set up. I know what I'm going to do with my life. You're going to mess up. There's a lot of well-meaning people that have thought they knew what was best for their life. And oh, if we could just uncover, if we could just put up their story on the big screens today, one after the other that said, oh, I thought I had it figured out. I thought I had the world tamed, preacher. I thought I had this thing called life figured out. I didn't seek God. I thought I had enough of what it took to do this thing called life without God. I'm here to tell you, no man, no woman, no person has what it takes to do it without God. No person. And so we need to, number one, we need to call for His guidance by, number one, wanting it. Number one, wanting it. He wanted to be led. It was His desire. Not, listen, He didn't just want to be led. Notice what He said now. Look at it. Show me thy ways, verse 4, what? O Lord. God, I want your ways. You say, what about the preacher? Well, there's nothing wrong with getting good godly counsel from your preacher. There's nothing wrong with getting good godly counsel from godly people. But I'm going to tell you something. Before you ever seek godly counsel, seek the counsel of God. Amen. Listen to me now. Amen. We've got too many people going to man instead of going to God. Amen. You go to man, you're liable to go to the wrong one. You go to God, you've got the right one.
Amen.
Every time.
Amen.
I'm for godly counsel, but not before God's counsel. He wanted it. Now, number two, write this down, would you? Right, watch it now. He not only wanted God's counsel, he was willing to get God's counsel. Look at verse number 5. Lead me. See, he didn't just say, show me. God, I want it. Now he's saying, I'm willing. Lead me. You say, well, isn't willing wanting? Oh, no. There's a lot of people that want things, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get it. Listen to me now. See, wanting it doesn't mean willing. There are people sitting on the sound of my voice saying, I know I need to change. I know I need to change. I know I need to change. But they're not willing to change. So wanting change and willing to change is two different things. Wanting God's guidance, wanting God's leadership, and willing to humble ourselves and receive God's leadership is two different things. So number one, the call to guidance is wanting it. Do you want God's guidance? Now think about that question. You would think, well, preacher, that's a no-brainer. Well, not necessarily. Do you really want God? Listen, when I say do you want God's guidance, now hear me well today. I don't mean do you want God to place His confirmation on your way. See, that's what a lot of people think God's guidance is. God, I'm going to tell you what I want. Bless it. That's not God's way. And then when it doesn't happen, you say, well, it's not working for me. It doesn't work that way. That's why it's not working for us that do that. Now, God, I've got a plan, and here it is. Bless it. That's not wanting God's counsel. That's not wanting God's way. God's way lines up with God's word. Somebody say amen right there now. So wanting God's way, number one. I'm talking about the call to guidance. The call to God's leading in our life. It's so important. Listen, I mean this when I say it. I've looked across this congregation and I think I have spoken with everyone in here to some degree over the years that I've been the pastor here. We've got some that have been newly saved and some that can't make it as much as others. But I've spoken to you and I know a little bit about some of you. You know a little bit about me. And I mean this when I say it. I can't look across this congregation and see one person that I do not want God's very best for your life. As a pastor, as a Christian, I want God's very best for your life. I want it for your life. And I believe that everybody could stand up. If you're right with God and you could say, preacher, and we want it for you and we want it for this church family. We just want God's best. You know, God has a best now. Don't miss out on God's best. Don't sacrifice God's best on the altar for your desire. Don't do that, please. Number one, you got to want God's guidance. Number two, you got to be willing to receive God's guidance. Number four, in chapter 25, what did he say? I want your guidance, God, show me. But in chapter 25, verse number 5, what did he say? Lead me. I'm willing to follow. Right? I want it, but I want to go to the next step. Now, here's the hard part. Those two parts, well, sometimes we can get a little off, but you want to see what the real hard part is? Watch it. Now, we that are a little older, we may be a little up on you on this one, young folks, so listen to me very carefully. The wanting and the willing, I think, is a level playing ground. It doesn't matter whether you're as young as some of these young men right here and young ladies, or whether you're as old as some of these sitting in this section. That's right, you, Brother John, right here. Amen. I still hadn't forgot about what you did in Sunday school, brother. I'm coming at you all day. It doesn't matter your age. Wanting and willing, level playing ground. You want to know where it's divided? Watch this next move, what the psalmist said. Look at it now. Look down at your Bible with me. And notice in verse number 5, he said, lead me. I not only want it, I'm willing, Lord. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. I'm willing. I want to learn. I want to know. Lead me and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Watch this now. On thee do I, there's our word, wait all the day. See, it's more than just wanting God's will. It's more than just wanting God's guidance. It's more than just wanting God to lead us. It's a willingness to follow that guidance. It's a willingness to follow that leadership. But then, and here it is. Here's where some of these older ones got it on you a little bit. All right? Waiting. Oh, listen. The impatience of youth. Sometimes it follows us to our grave. Sometimes we never grow out of that impatience. God! Do it and do it now. And we get so busy. We just got to be jumping ahead. Just got to be moving. We pray and something doesn't happen as it did with Abraham. And God doesn't send the answer when we pray. Well, I got to go on, preacher. I got to go on and do what I feel like I got to do. You better not do that. Listen to me now. You better wait on God. Psalm 27, just a couple of Psalms over, verse 14. Wait on the Lord. Be strong and of good courage, and he shall strengthen, watch it now, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, you want God to lead you. And I believe every person in here that is saved, you want God to lead you. You got to want it. You say, that sounds simple. Well, if it was simple, then everyone would do it. But not everyone's wanting God to lead them. There are people who want it their way. Did you know what the biblical definition of a backslider is? Somebody raise your hand. Don't say it. You say, preacher, I'm going to give you a biblical definition of what a backslider is. Raise your hand if you know. A biblical definition. We got two people. See, a lot of people think backsliding is going back out and getting drunk or being immoral. Hear me now. A lot of people say, well, you know, I backslid because I smoked that cigarette in a moment of weakness. Well, you may have, but that's not the biblical definition of backsliding. I backslid because I didn't do this and I know I should have done it, or I did do this and I know I shouldn't have done it. Hold your place here and turn to Proverbs 14. Let's get a biblical definition of backsliding. Biblical definition. Why are you saying that, preacher? Because between the wanting God's leadership, now hear me now, you're turning to Proverbs 14. Between the wanting God's leadership, between the wanting God's guidance, between the willing for God's guidance and leadership, and the waiting, a lot of Christians backslide. A lot of them. How's it happen, preacher? Proverbs 14, are you there? Biblical definition. Proverbs 14, verse number 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. That's the biblical definition. Now, some of the things I mentioned would probably come right under that. But don't you think you can't come sit on this back, on this pew or this chair, in the case of Fellowship Baptist Church, Sunday morning, after Sunday night, after Wednesday night, tote a Bible under your arm and not backslide. Amen. God can steady be telling you, this is what I want to do. I want to lead your life. You can be sitting right in here saying, well, but I'm going to do it this way. You're backslid. The backslider in heart is filled with his own ways. See, I'm not going to get God involved in guiding my life. I'm not going to get God involved in leading my life. I'm not going to wait on God to show me that next move. Got to go. Got to get it done. Got to make this next move. You're going to backslide. You're going to get out of God's will. Now listen to me. It's a terrible thing to be out of God's will. Terrible thing. So the call to guidance, the call to leadership, as we go back and close out this theme here in Psalm 25 on experiencing God's guidance, getting God's leadership. Yes, it's for our graduates. And yes, I believe I've spoke with each one of them over the years individually. I believe they're bright, intelligent, hardworking young people. And that would go to describe many of the people that are sitting in the congregation today. But what do we know about what I'm teaching today? What do we know about wanting God's leadership? Willing to let God lead us. Not saying, now God, I'm going to do this and I want you to bless it. Now God, this is what I want, giving God an order and saying, fill it. Now that's not getting God's leadership. God's leadership is bringing yourself prostrate before God and saying, God, here I am empty, fill me. God, here I am with no way, show me the way. Amen? Here I am with nothing to offer. I depend upon you, Lord. Is that the way you get God's leadership? If it's not, you're probably not getting it. And if you're not getting God's leadership, you may be going in the wrong direction. Number two, not only the call to God's leadership, but the conditions. You're in Psalm 25. There's two conditions that God gives before he'll lead you. Here they are in this psalm. Psalm 25, look if you would, in verse number 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of what? My salvation. You see, before you get saved, you're of your father the devil. God doesn't lead the devil's children. But when you get saved, God's your father. Amen. And he'll guide you like a shepherd. He'll guide you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they what? Follow me. See, he'll guide you if you'll follow. Amen. You got to be not only wanting, but you got to be willing. You got to be waiting. But now, you've got to be a candidate for God's leadership. That means you've got to be one of his sheep. He said, you're the God of my salvation. The God of my salvation. Are you saved? If you're saved, God will lead you. He'll lead you. John, Savannah, Hannah, and every other young person in this congregation that is not married, I want you to look right up here at the preacher. God will lead you to the mate that he wants you to marry. Isn't that comforting? You don't have to go searching online. You don't have to scroll through all these hundreds of people to try to find out. God will lead you. But you got to be wanting him to lead you now. You got to be willing to let him lead you. And most importantly, as I've already said, you got to wait. Well, I'm out of high school now. I ain't going to get married. Well, now that might be what God wants. God's got some married before they got out of high school. That's right. But now you make sure that's what God wants. God will lead you in not only your mate, God will lead you in your purpose. See, God will lead in every area of our lives. What about it, folks? God, did he lead you where you work? The type of work you do? You serve in the church? How many of you serve in the Fellowship Baptist Church? Raise your hand. Now you tell me that there's a group of people right here. All these people mess it. Listen, did they miss it? Or did God lead them? See, I believe God leads people. You say, preacher, that's your job. No, wait a minute. Don't get me mixed up with God. It's my place to oversee. I'm an overseer. But God's an overruler. Amen. See, God's in charge. And we want to leave it that way. Amen. Amen. So let's let God lead. And He'll lead you where He wants you to serve. Have you asked Him, God, where do you want me to serve you? I will tell you this, it'll be through the ministry of a local church. Amen. It will. God, where do you want me to worship you? You can worship God anywhere, but I'm going to tell you one place I'm 100% sure God will lead you to worship Him, in a local church. Amen. You see what I'm saying? Let God lead you. He'll lead you. Now, if you're saved, that's the first condition. What's the second one? Well, look down at your Bible. Look at what He said here. The God of my salvation, verse number 6 says, remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to Thy mercy. Remember Thou me in Thy goodness' sake, for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright in the Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way, and I'm glad that He will. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. Here's a condition. You see that word meek? It's a word that is synonymous with humble. We were talking about it in Sunday school. It's power or authority or strength under control. So number one, a condition for God to lead you, you got to be saved. Number two, you got to be submissive. Now, God's not going to jerk you up and make you go somewhere. You say, He will. No, He won't either. Amen. Did God make you get saved? Help me out now. Talk back to me. Did God make you get saved? No, God didn't make you get saved. And God's not going to make you be submissive either. You got saved of your own volition, of your own free will. And if you submit, it's going to be of your own free will. That's in your control. If you surrender, if you are meek and humble to God, that is a condition for God to lead you. Don't you think God's going to lock your arm now and drag you where He wants you to be. That's not the way God does business, brethren. It's not. So listen. First condition, saved. Second, submission. Have you met the conditions? I pray that you have. You say, preacher, will God lead me? Not only will God lead you, God wants to lead your life. Every one of you. Well, I look back there and see Darren. Darren's good to see you today. Darren came to me Wednesday night, and he said, preacher, he said, I knelt right down there on the altar, and he said, I got things right with God tonight. Amen. Man, that thrills my soul, Darren. I mean, that thrills my soul. He said, I do want to serve the Lord. I said, I believe you, son. It's good to see him back there today. Amen. Amen. Well, I encourage these young people to serve Jesus with their life. The greatest encouragement we can be to these young folks is let's do it as an example. Let's teach them by what we do that Jesus is worth serving. Say amen with me. Amen. Let God guide your life, folks. There's no greater guide in all of heaven and earth than God Himself. You want Him to guide you? Are you willing for Him to guide you? You willing to wait when God says not now? Hard thing to do, isn't it? God says sometimes you slow down, Dale. Dale, just slow down. My schedule's not your schedule, son. You wait on me. I'll get you where you need to be. When you need to be there. Can I tell you, God does everything on time. Everything. I want to close with this thought. We have, first of all, the call of God's guidance. We've seen the conditions. You know, you got to be saved. You got to be submissive. Are you willing to do it now? Are you willing to come under God's leadership? Are you willing to do what God says do? See, there's a lot of people asking God to show them what to do, but they don't know because God knows your heart. You're not willing to do what God says do. The only thing that a lot of people is willing to do is what they want to do. And they're not willing to do what God says do. Now, you'll never know what God wants you to do if that's your attitude. And I'm just trying to help you now. I'm trying to save you some time. You've got to come to the place where you say, God, like Jesus did in the garden, not my will, but Thy will be done. Are you there? If you are, God will guide you every step of the way. doesn't mean somebody's going to kick their heels up. I can see it now. Go out of this church service today and say, praise God, the preacher said that God was going to guide me and life is going to be a bed of roses. Now, I didn't say that. Where'd you get that part? Sometimes God will guide you through the flood. Sometimes God will guide you through the fire. Hear me now. Sometimes God will guide you into the storm. But the good thing is God's guiding. Amen. And where God's guiding, He's providing. And where God's guiding, He's out front taking care of things for you. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. You let God guide you now. You'll never go wrong. Well, let's close with this thought. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. This will be my final thought. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. I call this the confirmation of His guidance. So we've seen the call of His guidance. Show me. Lead me. And then we've seen the conditions. Got to be saved. Got to be one of His sheep. God leads His sheep. And then you got to be submissive. You got to be willing now to follow. You got to be humble. You got to be meek was the word that the psalmist used here. And now the confirmation. Preacher, how can I know God's guiding? Let me give you three scriptural principles. I would go to the scripture and show you these principles. They're in Exodus 13, Numbers 10, and Exodus 28, but I want you to listen to me. Number one, God never, and when I say never, don't you miss this, God will never, ever guide you against what's revealed in His Word. You want God to guide you? You need to get in this book. Right here. God guides me right through this book. I can't tell you the times that I didn't know which way to turn or what to do, and I'd sit down just for some devotional reading, and God would make it so clear to me as if I'm speaking to you right now and say, this is it right here. And some of you, and I'm not, some of you may think, well, you know, it's easy for Preacher Dale to know God's will. Listen to me. I get confused about life just like you do. I have many things I don't understand. And I have folks in the road just like you. And I have to pray just like you. There's been times I have knelt down, said, God, I need you to show me what to do. And I can be doing my devotional reading and God will speak to me because God speaks to us through His Word. Right. You want God to guide you? Don't forget to spend time in His Word. Young people, I cannot tell you how important this is. God will always guide through His revealed Word. God will never tell you anything to do that doesn't line up with this book. You say, well, preacher, I believe I got her figured out. I'm 18, I know it all, and I am going to marry somebody that's unsaved. It's God's will. Oh, no. No. Never God's will for a saved person to marry an unsaved person. That's called in the Bible being unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. So see, don't say something's God's will, and that's just an example, all right, of what going against the revealed Word of God. There's many. So God's Spirit will never tell you to do something that doesn't line up with God's Word. That's number one. Number two, not only is it revealed, but it's right. God will never tell you to do anything wrong. Well, preacher, I love her, and I think we're going to move in together. Well, no, wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. It's God's will, preacher. God, I mean, we just love one another. We might as well just go ahead and move in together. That's not God's will. I'm not throwing stones at anyone. I'm just telling you. If you want to do God's will, you want God to lead you, you got to go with the revealed Word of God. God's Spirit will always lead according to God's Word. Number two, it'll be right. It'll be right. God's not going to tell you to do wrong. Well, preacher, I think what I'm going to do, I'm needing a little extra money for the bills, and I've noticed that nobody's overseeing this little area here in the shop, so I'm going to take some money and I'll put it back later. Now, you do realize that's stealing, right? That's stealing. Amen, folks. Amen. Taking something that's not yours is stealing. It's wrong. Yeah, but it's for a good cause. Listen, there's no Robin Hoods in the Bible. That's fairy tale. That's stealing. And God will never lead you to do wrong. Never. In order to do right. He'll never lead you. Final thing. Final principle. There's revealed, there's right, then there's reasonable. Now, somebody said, Well, you know, sometimes God will ask you to do the unreasonable. I understand that. You make sure it's God telling you to do it now. The Bible says not to tempt God. Right? So don't do foolishness now. Think God's going to protect me. Right? I'm going to jump out of this two-story window and prove to the world that God's protected me. Yeah. Uh-huh. You might prove to the world that it is appointed unto man once to die. So you be careful about this proven stuff. You've got to act on reason. God gave us a brain for a purpose. Everybody say amen right there. I sure wish liberals would use more of it. Confirmation. It'll always be revealed now in God's Word. It'll always be right when God's leading. God's not going to lead you to do something that's wrong. And then number three, it'll always be within reason. God's not going to tell you to go play in the traffic and prove that He's watching out for you. That's unreasonable, among other things. Let's stand to our feet. I'm happy for our graduates. I wish you nothing but the best. Good young people. You got great promise in your life. I pray that you would take this information that was given today from God's Word and you would directly apply it to your life. But it's not just for them. It's for you, Brother Richard, Brother Allen, Sister Sharon. It's for you, Brother Von Aiken, Sister Von Aiken, the Colemans. It's for the Britton family. It's for the Broyles family. It's for the Freeman family. It's for the Oliver family. It's for the Short family. Brethren, it's for all of us. If you're saved, God wants to guide your life. Harrisons, God wants to guide your life. He does. Hearts, God wants to guide your life. Deans, God wants to guide your life. Now, God leads those that are willing to be led. Let's bow our heads together. I want to ask you a question.